What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Operation Hero Talk, the number one podcast for the nerds, the nerdettes, the blurreds, the blurredettes, and of course, the weebs and the weebettes. How are y'all doing, everybody? Pleasure to be back. Thank you guys so much for being patient. Just had a busy couple of weeks. We're moving into a new place, so excited. I'm going to have to take all this down. It up at our new spot, but very excited for that for me and my family. But I digress. Thank you all for being so patient. We are back with another video and podcast episode today. Well, this week is a Marvel week, as we did anime our last episode on Genos, the Demon Cyborg from One Punch Man. Recommend you go check it out. We're streaming on all platforms, especially the big three: Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. When you get a chance, check it out, man. It's a really good episode. Definitely get into the details and my theories on not just the Genos, the character, but the show as a whole. So looking forward to that. Follow us on all social media. Before we get into it, you already know Operation Hero Talk on Instagram and TikTok, as well as our Facebook page. And of course, you can follow me, yeah boy, on my personal Instagram and my personal TikTok page. I got those posted all around this mama jamma, all around this video. So yeah, go ahead, hit your boy with a follow and let me know if there are any videos or any characters that you would like us to talk about. Next week is DC week. So if you guys got a DC character that you want to hear about that I haven't done yet, let me know and I will get that taken care of. You know, I want to give the people what they want, you know, leave them wanting more, you know. Anyways, with that being said, today I wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to be a little bit different today. And this week I've been, you know, really racking my brain on what character I should do as it pertains to Marvel, right? Because there are just so many great ones. And I decided that it would be best if I covered not just one X-Man, because I wanted to do, my initial thought was to do an X-Man video, right? But I was like, well, which one should I do? And when I thought about it, I was like, well, you know what? Instead of doing just one X-Men character, because there are so many, right? There's so many. How about we take a trip down memory lane and let's just talk straight about the movies. So this episode is going to be a ranking of the X-Men movies. Yes, I'm going to rank them from worst to best. If we take out the Deadpool movies and the New Mutants movies, then there are 10, 12? No. If you include the X-Men movies and the Deadpool movie, then there are 13 movies. So if you exclude those, then there's 10. Okay, yeah, right. There's 10. So In the first part of this episode, I'll rank the worst five, and then the best five. So we'll go from worst movie to best movie. So worst movie out of all of them, in my opinion, and then the fifth worst movie out of all of them, and then in the second part of the episode, we'll go from the fifth best all the way to the movie that I think is the best. Now, once again, guys, if you're listening to this episode, it is my opinion. These are my opinions on these movies, okay? I'm gonna say what I think are the best movies and the worst movies, and I'm gonna state my case. And then you guys, let me know, please, in the comments, if you're happy about the list or if you're not happy about the list. I wanna know your opinion. Consider me y'all Marvel blurred therapist, okay? As you know, it's your boy Dimitri Starks and I'm back in the building. So with that being said, let's get into this. Let me start a little bit with a speech. You guys have heard me talk numerous times about standing the test of time, about being relevant, about remaining relevant, right? And the X-Men are just some, that's a group, right? That with so many characters that, you know, a younger generation are relating to, I feel like the X-Men can kind of get lost in the sauce, which is a shame, right? I'm not saying this to be, I'm not saying it because I'm happy about it. I'm not. I think that there are a lot of great X-Men characters that need they love. Seriously, that do great on their own. And you hear about the, you know, you hear about the opinions and the, you know, and the judgment and the criticism for people who don't really know X-Men, the X-Men, you know, probably ain't even read a damn X-Men comic. Oh, after Logan, the Logan movie, that was it. X-Men's done. Is it? I don't know. I think there's still a lot to go there because there's a lot of mutants, a lot of different things that could be. I mean, come on, guys. Think about how many mutants. If you really have watched an X-Men movie or you've read an X-Men comic, come on now. You guys do realize at some point I'm going to cover all these characters. They're like over 25 characters in that group alone that I could talk about, right? But the reason why I wanted to do the movie ranking today is because I just want to share where I feel they failed at and or where they may have succeeded, right? And talk about, you know, because some of these movies especially the older movies, I mean, like X-Men 2, X-Men 3, I haven't seen in like 10 years. It was like over 10 years ago I saw these movies, right? And some of them, of course, I've seen more recently because, you know, gotta get on my shit. And, you know, I wanna know what these movies are about, right? And some of them underwhelm, some of them, yeah, most of the new ones just underwhelmed. But there were some good ones in there. There were some good ones in there, right? So without further ado, like I said, this week we'll be doing an overall ranking. This is episode 28. Yes, this is episode 28 of the Operation Hero Talk podcast. It's your boy Demetri Starks. And let's just get straight into what was the worst movie. Gah. I have to make sure I'm saying the right one because remember, guys, we are excluding the two Deadpool movies and the New Mutants movies. They're not counting in this count. So the worst X-Men movie to me by far has to be X-Men Apocalypse. It has to be X-Men Apocalypse. There were just so many things wrong with this movie. It just made it basically unwatchable. Like when I first watched the movie, I was like, okay, that was bad. So let me watch it again just to confirm that it was bad. And I watched it again and I was like, yeah, this is bad. This is bad. Where do we even start? I know exactly where to start. We'll start with the villain. First off, shout out to Oscar Isaac. Y'all know I love Oscar Isaac. He is the main character in the Moon Knight franchise. The Moon Knight live action TV show limited series that Marvel put out on Disney Plus. I recommend you guys go check it out. Really hope there's a season two. But Oscar Isaac was playing Apocalypse. Now, ladies and gentlemen, understand something. Apocalypse was the first mutant. The T-H-E and add another E at the end, first mutant. And they made him seem like a straight up bitch. Like, I mean, it's just, like, I just felt like, you know how bad it was to me. The Apocalypse that was portrayed in the Marvel Alliance video game went harder than the Apocalypse in this movie. That's how bad it was. You can't let a video game outshine you. You can't. You cannot do it. He was like slow and nonchalant, and he didn't seem like a menacing character. And I think I have a theory on why this is. Now let's think back to the beginning of this movie, right? The beginning of this movie where it takes place in Egypt, right? And they are in the process of transferring him, right, to another body, because that's how he lives forever, right? He jumps from one body to the next, right? That's the first place you went wrong, because what it's showing is, oh, we have this all powerful deity, right? This all powerful God that rules among us, but he's vulnerable. So he's vulnerable. Off the top of your head, based off everything you've seen, can you give me a weakness in a weakness of Darkseid? And don't say Superman. You got 5 seconds. Couldn't think of anything? Exactly. It takes time, right? It takes time to think of something like that would actually be, you know, that would hurt him, right? And that's what I wanted in Apocalypse, right? But I didn't get that. I got this guy that got his enemies, the ops got the drop on him way too easily, way too easily. What does that say about you that and your generals that they couldn't tell that was coming? Think about this. I mean, they did end up saving him, right? They ended up saving him. But at the same time, you're supposed to be this all-powerful mutant. You're supposed to be this all-powerful God. And you and your general, you're not smart enough to understand that there's a rebellion in the works, that there's mutiny abound. Come on. Strike number one. Strike number two. The writing. Y'all listen. The script just felt forced. It felt forced to me. Like it didn't feel natural. Like it just felt like everybody in this movie was trying way too hard, especially Michael Fassbender. And I love Michael Fassbender. If you didn't know, that's the guy who plays Magneto. You know what was crazy? And I'm pretty sure was it in this movie? You want to know what the best scene in this movie was? And I'm just make sure that it was actually in this movie. Because I'm pretty sure it was. Give me a second. Apocalypse. Yep. I knew it. Okay. You want to know what the best part of this movie was? Was when the mansion blew up and Quicksilver saved everybody. Right? That was the best part of this movie. So that was the best part of this movie. Seriously. So what we have is a movie that had high expectations that could have delivered, but it didn't. So I have to put this at number 10. And the last thing I'm going to say that was wrong with this movie, I didn't like the whole Professor X taking medicine to walk again, yet it reducing his mental capacity, like his mental prowess, you know, his powers. I didn't like that. I wasn't feeling it. I'm like, this is lame as hell, right? Now, like, we know he got shot, and then you're in the wheelchair, pimp. Just let it go. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. You wouldn't get no women beforehand anyway. It's fine. So there were many things working. There were many things working against this movie. I didn't like the Angel character. I didn't like the Nightcrawler character. I didn't like the Storm. I didn't like any of it. Like it just missed on so many different, just so much shit about the movie just missed to me. But before we move on to my number nine ranking, and we'll go. I just want to research something real quick. Episode 28 of Operation Hero Talk. It's your boy Demetri Starks giving my rankings of the X-Men movies from worst to best. Okay, so there are multiple Apocalypse. This is nice. Insaba Nor. His actual name. Give me a second. The man known as Insaba Nor was one of the earliest mutants on the planet. 20 years ago, Apocalypse, along with trusted ally Sinister, witnessed the first televised proof of the existence of other super beings when Legion accidentally murdered his father, Charles Xavier. Apocalypse, a strict believer of survival or fitness, launched an offensive against humankind. Yep. With Xavier dead, the Apocalypse beginning his offensive 10 years earlier than he did in the Marvel Universe. There was no one standing in his way. Yada, yada, yada. I want to get to the powers. Hang on. Get to his powers. Hang on. I know they got something here. Seriously? They don't have anything in there? Wait. Hey, look, okay, look, I'm on the Marvel website right now. They literally have this man's weight as like, what is this, cabillion? 3 cabillion, 30, 300 cabillion. They tweak. Okay. Sorry guys, I'm trying to find his list his powers. Hold on, let me try a different Apocalypse. Yes, I will take, yeah. Okay. I can't believe I can't find his powers on the damn Marvel website. That's pathetic. Let's see, what powers does he have? Telekinesis, enabling him to levitate oneself or others by sheer will and objects. He can lift far and exit. Okay, so super strength. What else? Let's see, superhuman strength, superhuman stamina, invulnerability, teleportation, biomolecular alteration, energy generation, telekinesis, immortality. And that's a badass. That's a lot put in one villain. And I saw none of that during. I saw barely any of that in the X-Men Apocalypse movie. X-Men Apocalypse goes at number nine. So I mean number 10. So number nine. What is the ninth worst movie? This was a difficult one, because I wanted to give this to First Class, but I couldn't. I said, you know what? I'm not going to give this to First Class. Instead, I'm going to give this to Dark Phoenix. Look, I'm a Game of Thrones fan, just like the rest of you. Okay, I love the show. Didn't love the ending. Nobody did, but Sophie Turner could not save this movie. Okay, it was not good. Once again, what you have is a very all-powerful character, right? I want to compare the Dark Phoenix we saw in the most recent movie to the Dark Phoenix we saw in the third X-Men. She literally melted is not a good word. She literally decelled. That's not even the right word either, but I don't care. She literally destroyed people. That's how bad it was. And the only person that could take her out was Wolverine. that's how bad this situation is. That's how bad everything, like, that's how much of a badass she was. That's how powerful she was, right? If you've seen the Doctor Strange movie, and you see what, saw what happened to Professor X, Xavier, in that movie and how it happened, because I don't want to spoil anything. That's the level of goonish I needed out of this Dark Phoenix that I did not get. I didn't get it. She didn't seem goonish enough. It just seemed like a very powerful character taking their problems out on the world. And of course you're gonna get feedback from that. How do we get her out of this? Well, we talk her out of it. No. We show her love and she'll come back to the group. Tear. No, it's not how this works. Just stick your animantium blades in that chick and call it a day. Go to Starbucks. I couldn't see it and I was not messing with how they did my boy Quicksilver. I wasn't messing with it. I was like, this is not good. The interesting thing to me is that, you know, Dark Phoenix works as a character on her own, works as a villain, kinda, but we know she's not a villain. So it's just a situation where she's trying to discover herself. She's trying to figure out, you know, where she comes from and really, really honestly make this decision of whether she's going to be a savior or something else. Right? If you have a character that is all powerful, what's the thing that we've seen in most of the movies, right? We've seen this in most of the movies. What do they want? They just want to be left the fuck alone. And me, if I was in a situation where I was an X-Men, I'm thinking like, yo, if she wants to be left alone, as long as she don't kill nobody, can we just leave her alone? Like, like, just give her time to think. And, you know, there's that and the fact that, you know, Mystique got gooned in this movie, I had my own issues with, oh my God, what is that woman name? Y'all help me out. Hang on. I gotta look this up. Is it Jennifer Lawrence? It's Jennifer Lawrence, right? Yeah, I got my own problem with Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique, so I ain't gonna get into that. But in the X-Men, the only thing I would say about this movie is that the X-Men never really, even in the comics, the X-Men never really seemed like badasses, but they weren't bitches though. They got their ass handed to them this entire movie, and it just was so irritating. X-Men Dark Phoenix number 9. Moving on to number 8, because I don't want to catch an aneurysm up in here. All right, so what's the eighth best movie and third worst? You know what, I'll give this one to First Class simply because I thought that I'll give this one to X-Men First Class simply because of the writing. Mainly because of the writing. The writing didn't work on this. I thought that Kevin Bacon's character, who that boy plays, Sebastian Shaw, I thought it was a terrible character. Terrible character. And you want to know something interesting? The one person that I wanted to see in this movie, who was it? Hang on. No, it wasn't Riptide. Wasn't, no. Wasn't Banshee. Man, no. Chief Warden, no. Second Jump, no. Hang on. I know exactly, because I know who he related to. Nightcrawler's father. Nightcrawler. X-Men. Father. Yeah, how you pronounce his dude name? Azazel. Azazel? How you pronounce this man? Azazel. Y'all know who I'm talking about. The one guy I wanted to see, Azazel. He didn't even have a big role in the movie. So you know what it was? So really, Sebastian Shaw's character didn't do it for me. And the fact that his people didn't, like, his group of villains didn't do it for me either. They were just useless. And I know you guys already know what I'm about to say. Episode 28, Operation Hero Talks, your boy Dimitri Starks. What? Okay. Because I want to make sure I'm peaceful when I say this. You have Sebastian Shaw killing Darwin in the way that he did, when by the comic books, Darwin cannot die that way. He can't die by absorbing energy. He can do that. That was by far the stupidest death I've ever seen in the MCU. Bar none, didn't make any sense. And I have my own problems with Havoc, but he got scrapped in Apocalypse. So I guess I really couldn't be too mad at it. But the point is, I'm not going to say it was anything racial. I'm not going to. I'm not even going to take that route. But what I will say was that was dumb as hell. You, especially if you're a comic book enthusiast, which I am, and you know about this character, you know that literally can't happen. It literally can't happen. And the fact that you let him let it happen. Come on, man. Get the F-bomb out of here. This is no. And then the last thing that I did not like about this movie, and I'll move on to number 7. the death of Sebastian Shaw, the quarter going through the brain. I liked it. I thought it was very Magneto-like. I thought it was very goonish and definitely payback for everything that's happened. But the problem is that was, like, you got revenge, so that now you want to take it out on the human race? That makes no sense. The person that killed your parents was a mutant. So how you work that into that? You got revenge. It's over. Right? But that kind of plays into Magneto's character as a whole, obviously. Because I'm pretty sure that happened in the comic books as well. Sorry, y'all. It's been a while since I won't even jack to y'all. It has been a while since I have read a X-Men comic. I will not even jack to y'all. It has been a while. Eric Lyncher. Yeah, I know his name is Eric Lyncher. Marvel.com. Oh, Max Eisenhart. What? Tech manipulated as Magneto experience to his upbringing as young mutant to become sexually productive as maybe mutants now. Began his life in the world of mass turmoil and intolerance, Germany, World War II. Yep, he witnessed the worst the human race had to offer. And while he may have survived, his family and his people were persecuted and torn apart. After the death of his parents and sister, he landed in Auschwitz, where he reunited with his childhood crush, Magda. Growing to adulthood in the camp, Max continued to urge his fellow captives to fight for their freedom. So does it get into why he...
I think it does, actually.
To change his name to Eric Magnus Lyncher and settled in Israel, where he befriended Charles Xavier. Yeah. Okay. So basically, to make a long story long. So I didn't like the development of the characters in that. I didn't like the development of the characters in that movie. I didn't think it was terrible, but I just didn't think it was great. It just seemed kind of forced to me. I wasn't really fucking with it. So moving on to what we do. We did three movies so far. That was number seven, right? So we're at number six. Yeah. So let me see. Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix, First Class. Yeah. Okay. So next movie. Sorry, I gotta pull up the list because it's hard to keep all these movies in order sometimes. Let's see, X-Men. Okay, I already know. All right, so yeah, sorry. I'm gonna say X for number six. Sorry, because yeah, we're on number six, right? Yeah, so number six. Yeah, X-Men: Days of Future Past. Are you sensing a theme here? All of the new movies are really in my worst five, but just bear with me. Days of Future Past, and this to me was the best out of the new group of movies. It was. I liked the idea of the time travel and how things affected things from the past affected things in the future, and I especially liked how in the movie when he did fix everything, it went all the way back to what it was in the first movie. The very first one, when he originally got to the school, right? So Scott was there, Storm was there, Jean was back and alive and kicking, and Charles Xavier was there and alive and kicking. And I was like, okay, cool. You know what? That's dope. I like that. What I didn't like, once again, and I hate that I have to take it here, but I do. Another African-American character. Not did right in this movie. This, like, sir, guys, I'm a blurred. I'm a blurred. This matters to me. All right. Bishop's character, again, energy absorption. There is no way these Sentinels are so badass. First of all, I had a problem with the Sentinels off the rip. There is no way that these Sentinels should be that badass that they are killing this team that easily. Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. And to use to come up with a situation where it's like, yo, I know you have energy absorption. I know you have energy absorption, Bishop. I know you can shoot it back out at me, but I also have energy absorption. Yeah, but I have a fucking gun. I can shoot it out at you. You see what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying here. You get why I'm angry. You took one of the most badass characters in the X-Men series and you made him into just another fly-by-night mutant that gets murked twice. Gets murked twice by these Slender Man looking ass Sentinels. I wasn't feeling it. I couldn't do it. And like I said, the story was okay to me. Like, I actually liked the idea of the story, and I liked it. And they get bonus points for putting Peter Dinklage in it. That's my guy. But best of a bad bunch. Best of a bad bunch. I'm sorry. Best of a bad bunch to me. Which leads us to number five, and then we're gonna take a short break. Number five, I'm gonna give this to The Wolverine. And it was very hard for me to put this at number five, because at some points I liked this movie better than the movie I have at number five. But I had to put this at number five. One, because I thought that the giant samurai, metallic CGI samurai, was fucking ridiculous. And I thought that the dialogue at times was just a little boring as hell, in my opinion. I mean, don't get me wrong, I didn't really have much hope for this movie when it came out anyway, but at the same time, I expected, like, it. How can I put this? You know what makes Wolverine a great character? That he can elevate the dialogue of other characters around him, because he is, as a character, depending on which Wolverine you're looking at, dull. He's dull. I'm sorry, he's dull, and that's okay. I'm not saying overall he's dull, like, but he's you can't have a conversation with Wolverine, at least not a deep conversation. He's not that. He don't operate like that. He don't operate like that. So with that being said, to have a movie where he has to operate like that, it don't work. He's been in love and he's had these connections and these relationships. Yeah, we get it. He's hurt. He's been hurt multiple times, right? He's got a lot of deep emotional issues, right? But that only works in one case. And that case was in the movie I ranked at number five, which I will get to after the break. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with episode 28 of Operation Hero Talk, the number one podcast for the nerds, the nerdettes, the blurs, the blurdettes, and of course the weebs and the weebettes. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned, and we will be back momentarily. Mic check. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to episode 28 of Operation Hero Talk, the number one podcast for the nerds, the nerdettes, the blurs, the blurdettes, the weebs, and of course the weebettes. It is your host, Dimitri Starks, and I am back to give the five, I guess, best out of the X-Men movies. If you were listening to the previous half an hour, I did the worst five. Now I'm about to do the best five, and where I left off at was ranking... The Wolverine as the fifth, as number at number five. So at number six, I'm sorry. So this is number five. So number five, I'm gonna give that slot to, sorry, give me a second. Let me go to let me just go to my list again, just so I make sure I don't miss any movies. Once again, remember, we are excluding the pun intended, excluding the New Mutants movie and the Deadpool movies. Yes, those do count, but we're not counting those for this list. Strictly the X-Men movies. So with that being said, where's the movies? Okay. All right, there we go. So moving on to number five. Number five, I gave this spot to X-Men United. I think that the reason why I put this movie at number five, I'm sorry, Oh, sorry. Totally brain spaced on that. I'm sorry. X-Men Origins Wolverine is my number five movie. The reason why I put this movie at number five is, like I said, when I left off at the end of the previous half an hour, Wolverine as a character in the movies is perceived as really dull and non-really engaging, especially in conversations. If you really think about it, his conversations are short. Right, unless you're asking him the questions, he's not carrying the conversation, which is okay because that's kind of like indicative of the whole X-Men, the Wolverine character. But when I really thought about it, if you guys hear a beep in the podcast, I apologize. That is my baby monitor. I am just checking on my daughter, making sure she's okay, because she's sleeping in the next room. But either way, basically. I think that, you know, having a standalone movie with Wolverine, it worked in this case because you had a bunch of great supporting characters that we got to see, right? We got to see Sabretooth, more depth to him, which we didn't really see in the first X-Men movie that released. Just a whole list of good characters. I mean, who doesn't make an appearance in this? Gambit makes an appearance. The Blob makes an appearance. I know who you guys want me to say, but I'll save it for us. Yeah, we had some good characters in this game. In this movie, and I like the idea of them showing you know, how he got his powers, how he got the animantium, and you know, basically the non-aging phase, basically, which that was a plus, that was a pro and a con in this movie, because they didn't really explain how it happened. At the beginning of the movie we see, you know, him and his brother in the house. He kills his father and these two run away, and at some point they just stop aging. Make it make sense. Like, is that just part of being a mutant? That can't be, because Professor X got old. Magneto got old. That didn't make any sense. So like what in them stops them from aging? And then I know they explained it in the Logan movie. We'll come to that list later and see where we arrive in that, where that arrives on the list. So for that, I thought it was very well written. I thought that, you know, the dialogue and showcasing that relationship between him and Sabretooth was really good. You know, showing the brothers and how, you know, he was a mutant with a conscience, really. You know, he didn't believe in killing people for no reason, even though, you know, the world hated them. And then you have this sleazy ass major that's clearly using all of them to get what he wants, right? It could not have been more evident in this movie that this guy was a sleazeball and that he didn't give a shit about these mutants. Case in point, you send Sabretooth to kill the people, all the people that were on the team. Make it make sense. It doesn't. Like, so plot-wise, there were definitely some confusing elements in this movie, but at the same time, I thought that it did a really good job of the action. I thought the action was really good. I thought Wade's character, obviously played by the future Deadpool himself, Ryan Reynolds. I thought that scene where he goes against the diamond smugglers, I thought that was really good. A really good scene. I thought it was a really nice action scene. It's really cool. Okay. All right, let's get to it. What's the obvious con in this movie? Obviously, it's the Deadpool experiment gone wrong at the end. It was just terrible. It was terrible. Like, awful. Just awful. Like, because, and I'm glad they made it up and they can, like, we can all laugh about it now, right? We can all laugh about it now. But as people, like, trust me, y'all, if you didn't see the X-Men, the Origins movie, X-Men Origins, the Wolverine movie, believe me, if you weren't there when it first came out or if you were too young, we weren't laughing. We thought that that was one of the single stupidest things they could have did. Clearly. Like, it was stupid, because it's like, okay, did you think you were being clever by like putting skin on his mouth so he couldn't talk? Because it kind of plays into the thing where he's a merc with a mouth, and you know, best way to shut him up is to experiment on him, and that kind of plays in. Yeah, that's funny. Nobody was laughing at that. It didn't make any sense. And then the fact that we all know that Deadpool carries two blades. You have two blades coming out of his arms. Just throw the whole thing away. If I'm keeping it 100 with you guys, which I always do. That ruined the movie for me. that ruined the movie for me. I thought that I loved Gambit. I loved the Blob. I loved Wolverine. I loved the Origin Story. I loved Sabretooth. I loved everything in it. Except the Deadpool villain. I was like, oh God, this is horrible. This is horrible. Why would you guys do this? Who looked at the finishing product of this and said, oh my God, this is going to kill at the box office. You need real. This is why you need real people in that room. Because there had to be somebody that said, this is terrible. Why are we doing this? This is a bad idea. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. We have to take this out. This is terrible. This is terrible. I'm sorry. It's not gonna be okay. And it wasn't. It was never okay again. This is how bad it was. The X-Men Origins movie came out in 2009. The Deadpool movie came out in 2016. That was when it was okay again. So 7 years. It took 7 years for us to be okay with that because Ryan Reynolds himself made fun of it. And so we were like, you know what? If he's making fun of it, I think we can finally let that hurt go. We can let it go. It's okay. We'll let it go. Throw it by the wayside. Hey, water under the bridge, man. Water under the bridge. Right? We'll live to nerd out another day. Episode 28, Operation Hero Talk. Demetri Starks in the building. okay. Moving on to number four. So the fourth best movie. To me, I am going to give this. I'm going to actually give this to the X2 X-Men United movie. I thought that this movie was pretty good because I liked the idea of Logan, you know, finding out who he is, and you know, I liked the Jean. I liked the Jean Grey sacrifice. There was a lot of things in this movie I messed with. I even liked the idea of the house getting attacked, and you know, us seeing. What's that boy's name? Is it Colossus? It's Colossus, right? Yeah, Colossus. Right? It's Colossus, right? Pretty sure it's Colossus. Colossus X-Men. Yeah, Colossus. Okay. I like the evolution of Colossus. I liked both versions. I know the one in the original movie's got a bad rap, but I actually kind of liked him. I liked how he helped stop Magneto in the third movie. X3, X-Men United. I liked how he helped stop him in the third movie, and I liked the goofiness of the Colossus in the Deadpool movies. But keeping it back on topic. I liked the diversity of the characters in this, especially when they attacked the house. I liked the evolution of Iceman in that movie. I liked basically the connecting of this team on an emotional level, to where, you know, you guys, they, you know, pretty much like, hey, we all we got. And if you take one, you got to take, you mess with one, you messing with everybody. So it's a situation where, you know, we look back on this movie. I think we look back on it favorably because there was a lot of stuff that could have went wrong with this movie, but didn't. I think that what's that boy name? Who's that man name? Brian Cox. Yeah. I think that Brian Cox portraying William Stryker was really good, and my favorite part of the movie, favorite character in the movie personally, was Alan Cumming's playing Nightcrawler. I thought that the attack at the White House was a great, great way to start the movie. And to keep it straight goonish with his attack style and the way he just bullied the Secret Service, I was messing with it. I really was. Like, I was messing with it. I like the fact that we got that right off the rip. So you start off with action. That's what really was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to put this ahead of X-Men, the solo X-Men movies. Excuse me. I'm going to put this ahead of those movies because I think that to start off that way and to keep it mellow with, like, keep it consistent with the action throughout the movie, I thought was pretty good. And I liked Lady Deathstroke too. And I like the fight, and I like the fact that of how he beat her by filling her with liquid animantium. I thought that was pretty clever. And I like the fact of, like I said, I like the fact that the Jean Grey, sacrifice, and thus transforming into Dark Phoenix, because I thought that it was a good segue into the X3 United movie. So I thought that was pretty good. So X2 X-Men United is sitting at number four for me, which leads me to number three. I'm gonna give that to the first X-Men. The first X-Men I put at slot number three simply because it's a classic. It's the reason. It's a classic. So I got to show respect to it as a classic. Remember, this was our first introduction to the X-Men in real life, and it was a real. I just thought that they brought us in slow, which was necessary because you at that time, you got to remember, this was in, when was this? When was the first X-Men released? And this was in 2000, guys. It's in 2000. You had to bring people in slow into this idea of putting comic book characters on the big screen was still relatively new. So there wasn't really much you could do, especially with how limited budgets were at the time, and the fact that, you know, no, nothing's a sure thing, right? They say that, right? And they say that in show business. You're not a hit until you're a hit. Nothing is a sure thing. And even all the talent in the world sometimes can't elevate a bad movie, bad writing. But I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was good writing. I thought the character selection was really good. I thought that Rogue was the development of Rogue was a great addition to the movie. I thought that developing that relationship between her and Logan as, you know, outcast and runaways was pretty clever, because these are two, like, you don't really think about as together, but when you really compare their stories, they are pretty similar in how they feel this separation from the world. So yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I liked Magneto's character. Where am I? Oh, sorry. I liked Magneto's character, played by the legendary Ian McKellen, obviously. And yeah, I just think that this movie worked in a lot of ways. And I love the Statue of Liberty, different fights. I love the Mystique versus Wolverine fight. I thought that was pretty clever. I liked Storm versus Toad, and I liked Sabretooth. I just thought like this movie worked on a lot of levels, and I even respected the overall plot of Magneto's plan. I thought it was pretty good. So I thought the writing was a hit on this, especially keeping in mind the times that we were in. Remember, this was early 21st century, 2000, hell, the start. Right. So, you know, hey, they did the best they could with what they had. And I think that, you know, this movie really did help get us to where we are today. Now, I think that the original X-Men movie helped get us to where we are today. But if I'm being honest, if I knew the X-Men movie was going to contribute to these later X-Men movies, I don't know. Y'all probably could have kept it. Seriously. Less is more. But I think that that's the message. Less is more. You see how these great movies were made with less. And when you have more resources, this is true. Sometimes you overdo shit. Sometimes you overdo it. And in the previous part of this episode, when I talked about the worst five, I think that had a lot to do with it. Just overdoing it. Seriously. Don't think too much. Right. But I got X2 X-Men United. Sorry. Moving the shoulders. Anyways, I got that as number three. So number two, I have as X-Men The Last Stand. Loved the hell out of this movie. Still do. This is definitely personally my favorite X-Men movie. But the only reason I didn't put this at number one is because having looked at the number one choice multiple times, I cannot in good conscience put this ahead of that movie. This movie ahead of that movie. I just can't. So with that being said, X-Men The Last Stand worked on so many levels. I think that the formation of the X-Men, the mutant villain group was great. I thought that sorry for snapping. Oh, that didn't come too clear in the microphone. Sorry if your ears popped. I thought the Juggernaut character was great, and you know, seeing his powers come to fruition, I just thought that this movie was just good. Let's just start with the writing. I thought that bringing back Jean Grey as Dark Phoenix was a good segue, and finally we're about to unleash the plan, right? So if you have been watching X-Men X2 and X3, we've just been waiting on Magneto to make another move, and this move was great because it showed two progressions. It showed the progression of Magneto as a villain. And it showed the progression of the government's response to the mutant gene by creating the cure and the adaption, them being able to adapt to Magneto by using plastic weapons. I thought that was very clever. I'm like, yeah, we learn, right? Kill us 100 times, shame on you. Shame on us. Kill us 101 times. I mean, kill us 100 times, shame on you. Kill us 101 times, shame on us. So I thought that was pretty clever. I liked, give me a second. I liked Kelsey Grammer as Beast. I thought that that was really great, especially him being part advocate, but also, hey, I'm a member of this team, and don't get it twisted. I can take it there when I need to take it there. So I thought that was really good. I really like that. Who else was in this movie that I really loved? Like I said, Vinny Jones. Yeah, Vinny Jones. His name was not coming to mind, but Vinny Jones was like amazing. I really loved him in the movie, and I liked Vinny Jones is the guy that plays the Juggernaut. Everybody, come on now. Let's y'all know this. I liked Elliot Page's character when he was playing Kitty Pryde. I thought that was a good character selection, especially an interesting character to put in the movie, because you didn't really think that he could fight. He was portraying the character Kitty Pryde, so I'll say she as it pertains to Kitty Pryde, the mutant, because you didn't really think that she could fight. But I thought that they did a good job of portraying that character, and they really adapted to the dialogue well. Like you saw in the scene when they are rescuing the kid who has the basically anti-mutant gene. So if you get close to him, you lose your powers. I thought that they did a really good job of showing this kid who isn't afraid of anything, and she is, you know, even when it's going against the Juggernaut, she can think on her feet and you know, come up with a solution quick, because that's part of being a part of this team, right? So I thought that was pretty good. And cons. Let's get to cons. hold on, I gotta find this. Hang on, where is he at? Where is he at? I know he's in here somewhere. Hang on, I'm trying to find him. I know he's in here. But is this him? Sorry, I'm looking up a character, but I cannot find who played him. And this movie was a hit. $210 million budget, $460 million box office. So though, yeah, save your damn comments when you're judging me. Okay, like I said, this is personal opinion. Where is it? No. Warren Worthington III, aka Angel. There we go. Okay, so Ben Foster. Okay, so I don't even care about Ben Foster. But what, Angel in the movie? Angel did not need to be in that movie at all. None whatsoever. That was clearly just a decision to put him in the movie to have another mutant in the movie. It made no sense. It made no sense for him to be there. It made no sense for him to be there. It made no sense for his father to be there. It made no sense for him to save him at the end. That was a just clear, like, when looking back on it now, I'm looking at it like, ooh. What was the point of having Angel in that movie? Don't rack your brain. I'll answer. There was no point. So yeah, that was definitely a con. Another pro though, like I said, Jean Grey, awesome. Even though they killed off Scott, I wasn't mad at it. But Jean Grey, Dark Phoenix literally destroying people. That's the gully I needed. That is the Dark Phoenix that I needed to see, and that's what I got. I got her destroying people, literally destroying. if you're watching this on YouTube or Spotify video, you can see I'm putting up a scene right here, right now, of her literally making people, destroying people from the inside out, like obliterating them, and her killing Charles Xavier, Professor X. I thought A1. Great. Love it. That is dope. I was like, yes, this is what we need. Like, this is what we need. This is great. I wasn't too attached to the Charles Xavier character anyway. And shout out to Daz the Great, who check out his YouTube channel on What TV. He had X, apparently Professor X is his favorite character. I had no idea. I wasn't too attached to it, too attached to him, so I didn't mind when he got murked. But yeah, definitely my second favorite movie, which leads us to the first. Guys, I really did want to put X-Men The Last Stand first. I did. But I couldn't do it, because the number one movie, the number one X-Men movie to me, come on, y'all, it's got to be. It's Logan. It's Logan. Easily. It's Logan. It's not even, it's Logan, and it's not even close. It's Logan. First of all, a dystopian setting is always going to work. It's always going to work. Right. The only time it doesn't work is in DC movies, because they don't know how to do it right. But, you know, DC not doing it right. Oh, shock of the century. Anyways, this was great. This movie was the perfect send off for Hugh Jackson to just ride off into the sunset. After watching this movie and crying a little bit, I thought to myself, wow. Hugh, you have literally did everything for this character that you could. This was the perfect send off. It was perfect. You couldn't did it. You could not have done it any better. The X-Men are gone. Times are terrible. This dude has a daughter, sort of, that he has to protect, that he's learning about, that you know, brings out that last bit of gully in him. That, if you don't know what gully is, street term, meaning goon. It's another term for goon. Brings out that inner goon back out of him, where, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I can, release whatever I can that's left to protect this girl. And he does. And he dies peacefully. I thought, to me, perfect ending. Congratulations, Marvel. You just made the best X-Men movie out of all of them, and it's not even close. You couldn't get no more perfect than that. You couldn't. Not even if you tried. Right? But who played the little girl? Hang on. Let me check. Everybody did good in this movie. Let me see. Hang on. Sorry, give me 1 second. Yep, here we go. Come on, y'all. The budget was between 95 and 129, and it grossed over 619. Come on, y'all. Like, a lot of things went right in this movie. I like the idea of his healing abilities failing him, so he's aging, he's getting old. You know, Charles is old, you know, like super old. I just think that a lot of things worked in this movie. And you know, everybody trying to go on with their life and realizing that, you know, the X-Men, they failed, right? The world fell into chaos. No matter how much they tried to protect it, it didn't hit. they couldn't make the impact of what they wanted to. And I think, like, you know, everybody that's read X-Men comics or watched X-Men movies, you probably understood that was where it was coming, right? You can't have a bunch of mutants trying to protect the inevitable, which is a war between mutants and humans. It's inevitable. Doesn't mean I agree, right? But hey, it's called human nature for a reason. It's hard to escape it, right? And I think that leaving the X's on his grave was perfect of him, you know. I didn't really understand the telepathic seizures that killed the X-Men, but understandably, I was like, okay, I get it. You got to kill them off some way. It's fine. I just thought that the movie just was a 10 out of 10. Perfect. Not really much that you could do with this movie. I thought Daphne Keen playing Laura, or, you know, X-23, was pretty good as well. This movie just hit on a lot of different areas for me, and I loved it. I thought it was perfect, and I thought it was the best X-Men movie. It'd be hard for you to debate with me. I'm sorry. So I gotta get at number one, and that finishes out the list. So to recap, what's my bottom five? Okay, it is X-Men Apocalypse, X-Men Dark Phoenix, X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past, The Wolverine. Top five: X-Men Origins, X2, The United, X-Men 2, X-Men United, X-Men 1, the original one, 2000, X3, The Last Stand, and Logan to round it out. So that is my list. Let me know what you guys thought about it in the comments. Let me know if you liked it. Let me know if you would put one movie ahead of another, and tell me why. You know, let's engage, right? Let's have a dialogue about this, right? So that, you know, I can learn where y'all coming from and what y'all thought, because you guys may have noticed some things in the movies that I didn't notice, and same thing vice versa, right? You guys could have learned something from me in this podcast or video if you're watching it on YouTube or Spotify video. So just let me know what you thought about it, what you thought about my list. Please feel free to hit me with a like. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit me with a like and a follow, and hit the bell so you'll know when we drop more podcast episodes and other videos. I'm getting ready to, I'm still working on a video for the Thor Love and Thunder a movie that is dropping in 3 weeks, I think. 3 weeks, maybe two, I'm pretty sure. And a future episode on Gore the God Butcher coming soon. Going to be releasing that relatively soon. But just hit your boy with a comment and a like. Let me know what you thought about it. And as always, people, please, please, in these uncertain times, when we don't know what's going on, if we're working from home or if we're going into the office, if gas prices is going to reach $100, my bet's on yes. Remember that while gas prices go up and down, you can always stay Swifty. Thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.